Okay.
Everything in here.
Start a board meeting, and we will start our discussions with the discussion on the 2020 agenda consultation. Give the floor to April.
Thanks, Hans. Agenda paper 24, 2020 agenda consultation. Now, the purpose of today's session is to obtain your views on the proposed approach to the next agenda consultation and also to provide an oral update on the feedback that we received at the September meeting of the IFRS Advisory Council. The slides in this agenda paper are based on those which were used at the Advisory Council last week. And at the Advisory Council meeting, we asked members for feedback on the proposed approach to developing the request for information, not on what should be on the future work plan. Now, with respect to the balance of the board's activities at the Advisory Council meeting and in these slides, the staff described five possible aspects of the board's activities for the Advisory Council to consider. In question one to the Advisory Council, which is on slide 15, we asked them whether the description of the board's activities on slide 13 and 14 was clear, and whether it would help provide the information needed for the board to decide the future balance of its activities. Members generally thought that the slides, plus the staff's expanded description at the meeting, was clear. Some members commented that it would be useful to know the overall level of resources when considering activities, and the staff will think about how we deal with resources in the RFI. Advisory Council members also asked us to think about how we articulate the extent of stakeholder engagement and the effect of taxonomy, which are both embedded in different aspects of the board's activities. Question two to the Advisory Council is on slide 19, and it concerned prioritizing issues to add to the work plan. Last week, we explained to the Advisory Council that the RFI must be structured to help the board prioritize projects to add to its work plan, and we explained how the staff are proposing, for the first time, to consult in advance of issuing the RFI to identify a list of potential projects that stakeholders think should be added to the board's work plan. And we describe on slides 24 and 25 outreach we plan to conduct before the RFI in order to identify what potential projects we should describe in the RFI. And we asked the Advisory Council about how the RFI could be structured to collect that information about prioritizing topics to add to the work plan. And we suggested three different approaches, which you can see on slide 18. Approach A, we'd give the stakeholders a blank sheet of paper. Approach B, we'd provide in the RFI a list of potential projects to add to the work plan and ask respondents for comments. And approach C, we could use the list of potential projects derived from the pre-RFI outreach to create a preliminary view of the 2022 work plan. The staff recommendation is approach B, including the RFI, a list of well-described projects for potential inclusion in the 2022 work plan. Now, approach B had very clear support at the Advisory Council meeting. There was little support for approach A, which was the blank sheet of paper. Support was almost 2-1 in favor of approach B compared with approach C. Some members thought that C, which was the draft work plan for 2022, was too restrictive. Supporters of B thought that it gave respondents idea, but it didn't really restrict their input. Some members at the meeting suggested a halfway house between approach B and approach C might be useful. That would be a list of potential projects in the RFI, fully described, but also including an indication of the board's initial leanings on those projects. Other comments on prioritizing projects to add to the work plan were some members thought it was important to make clear in the RFI what commitments the board already had for the work plan period, for example, if we're committed to any PIRs. And members noted that the board would need to leave some flexibility and capacity to enable it to address urgent issues as they arise. Question three to the Advisory Council last week is on slide 21. We asked the Advisory Council how the board should approach projects in the research pipeline that haven't started at the time the RFI is published. Should we assume that they're still a priority or list them with the other potential projects to assess whether or not to add them to the work plan? And the Advisory Council showed overwhelming support for adding any projects in the pipeline, but not started at the time of the RFI, to the list of potential projects for comments by stakeholders. Question 4 to the Advisory Council on slide 26. Finally, we just asked members whether they had any other comments on the proposed approach to developing the RFI. And the Advisory Council discussed how to determine and communicate the criteria for adding projects to the work plan. So the questions for you today on slide 31 are, firstly, do you have any comments or questions on the messages received at the September meeting of the Advisory Council? And question 2, what are your preliminary views on the alternative approaches which were described on slide 18? So any questions or comments on the approach in general before we consider the alternatives on slide 18?
Just contemplating whether I'm following the rules or not, given the way you teed that up. But an observation, and you touched on it already in the comments that you made about some of the things that were said at the Advisory Council last week, but it struck me because a number of people said it, and I think it's probably a fair point, and I think it relates to the description of what we actually spend our time on that you've set out in slide 13 and then you build on later on, but it partly feeds into then what ends up on slide 18. And firstly, I should say, I think I really like the work that you guys have done in terms of making it more clear that standard setting is more than just what they see us doing at the board table. I think that's helpful for people to both to understand and to get a better idea of where there might be time, where time should be allocated, but also how much free time there really is compared with what they might think there is. But one thing that came up a couple of times in the Advisory Council was a reference to the PIRs, and I think maybe something that's not coming out perhaps as strongly as it might in the slides, which might be why we got so many of the comments, was you can't really tell, maybe because it's obvious to us, but it might not be obvious to others, that part of the research and standard setting we need to think about is the PIR specifically, because they're sort of more in the nature of a commitment rather than, you know, new projects where there's more of choice, open choice for people. And I think reminding people that the PIRs are part of the research and standard setting, giving them an idea of the PIRs that are sort of looming in that five-year horizon, and then giving an idea of how much time they might take, will be important, because it does have an effect on how much true space there is in terms of what people can suggest they'd like us to work on. And that sort of feeds a little bit into slide 18. Maybe I'll just cheat and comment on slide 18, if that's all right, April. I think I'm probably slightly between B and C, a little bit for some of the reasons I heard Advisory Council members give. I agree not going all the way to C is a good idea, because I think it's a bit too restrictive and for people. But I can also see that if you're not, you know, involved in our work as closely as we are within the building, it can be hard to sort of get a sense of how to pull it all together and how much flexibility there really might be to pick and mix. And so I think B is the right sort of approach, but we need to give a pretty good idea of how much resource the different alternatives would give, so people have got a good idea of how much choice they really have within B, which is, I think, tending a little bit towards C rather than B. Maybe we've got a bit of an idea of, you know, we could give some examples maybe of combinations that might be feasible, for example, without just giving one choice, just to help people, because otherwise there's a risk that people come back with a mix of things that we can't really work with that easily.
Nick?
Yeah, like Sue, I appreciated that this also highlighted the other things that we do beyond standard setting, consistent application. Although I noted on the chart on page 11, even though it says not to scale, I think quite a few members of the advisory council wanted to read it as being to scale. And so we just need to be super, super careful with that. I think the additional challenge is clearly in those other activities we're referring to incremental resource, and to get that nuance across is a challenge. The suggestion I did like from them, however, was this sense of having 100 points and asking people to allocate, because it means people then have to really think about it and be precise rather than just using kind of general terms and so on. So, yeah, overall, directionally, I like where we're going.
Anne?
A message I heard clearly from Advisory Council was wanting to know about resourcing, how much resources, and whether it's using the points method that was discussed, but having some idea of how much resourcing time would be taken up in things so that people had some idea of how much they could ask for. And then to Sue's point about the PIRs, that's not an option. It's not an option actually to leave them off. So we need to flag them separately. But we do need to give them some indication of how extensive projects are, because I don't think people can prioritise things without that.
Mary?
A couple of things. And I think April, very helpful summary of what we heard from Advisory Council. And I wanted to relate a couple of things that Sue and Anne talked about, which is resources and capacity. I actually put the comments when I heard them at the Advisory Council together, and I think it's not so much that people want an extensive analysis of how many FTEs do we have and what they're working on, but rather in being asked what we should prioritize, they just want some sense of what's available. So I think I'd start referring to it as a capacity concern rather than specifically a resource, because capacity is not just ISB, but it's also kind of thinking about the ecosystem as a whole and what stakeholders would need to do to participate. So I think I'd just start focusing on that. The second thing is kind of related. If you go back to slide 7, and thinking about that discussion we heard at Advisory Council, I think the third box, not I think, I know, the third box has a very helpful discussion of more support for existing standards. And reflecting on the Advisory Council discussion, I think it might be a good idea to have a bit of a qualitative rather than quantitative discussion about a shift in allocation of efforts and resources in the last agenda cycle, because it's here, but I think really talking about how much that it's a significant work stream rather than we just turned up the volume a notch kind of thing would help people understand. And if they're assuming that we will, you know, I think we should make some kind of statement about whether we see any significant uptick or downtick being required to maintain the same level of support in light of where we are in different projects and clearing some of the backlog that we had in interpretation committee matters. I think it's qualitative rather than quantitative. It's not an hours estimate, but it would be helpful in supporting giving some sense of capacity. But I think that's a tuning issue. And I think if we did that tuning, some of the people, when you look at slide 18, you know, whether they were saying they were B or C, I think those who were looking more for C were really asking that question more leaning towards C, more from a capacity sense, so they could start saying, instead of doing this, do that, rather than because they really wanted to see the board make preliminary decisions that early in the agenda consult. And then the last thing I was going to point out on the capacity point is, I think in at least one or two of these slides, you identify the fact that we want to include in, you know, the staff proposal is to include in the RFI a quick sketch of each of the identified projects, so that would be in both B and C. And that quick sketch, you know, at slide 24, would include the size of the project as large, medium, or small. It wouldn't try and put hours to it or you know, number of board deliberations. But I think that will give people some indication, especially if we start expressing capacity as, you know, I'm getting way ahead of myself right now, but X number of large or Y number of large and X number of medium kind of thing. That just gives a ballpark figure.
Gary,
I think it, also general support for the direction that's in here, but a few views somewhat a little bit contrary into the room. But actually, I like the 100 points distribution process. That's a widely used management tool And my experience is it works. I think I actually support B. And my reasoning for that is a little bit different. Anything that we put in this list, we should be prepared to add if the votes fall that way, which is C basically says, take the list and tell us which ones you would do left alone. I think we should be prepared. If you posit it as a possible project to vote on, we should be prepared. We in our own mind should be reasonably comfortable we would go forward with that if that's where the votes fell. I think capacity, I sort of agree, would it be a large, medium, small project is a good way to go, but I would be cautioned because some projects can be a huge project or they end up just being disclosure only. So it's sort of our view with a bias towards where we think we would take it. You know, scope, is it recognition, measurement, disclosure, whatever. And that's already sort of tilting our hand with what we're going to do, and you're going to give us reasons why we wouldn't do it that way. I think as far as capacity, level of resource, I don't think that's important. If you look at our webpage and all the work in process in there and follow us the last couple of years, you sort of get a general idea of what is our capacity for work is. Now, you might debate, you know, how long are some of the bigger projects going to take to get done, but you know, we looked at the work plan this morning. It was, you know, 40, 50 items on the list. Anybody can draw the conclusion what your capacity for work, you know, within broad parameters is. So I don't think that's all that important to put in there.
Françoise.
Thank you. Well, I mean, comments eventually not in a good order, but the first one is indeed around the approach that we should take for the list of potential projects, and I really support approach B, largely because I think the objective of an agenda consultation is to receive input, and prior to making any choice of my own or having my own priorities, I would want to hear from constituents, you know, eventually how the context has changed or what is to be retained for the past years. In terms of helping people prioritize in a relevant manner in the way they provide input, I would support, if that's feasible, whether it's a point or a credit or whatever method that could be. But I think it could, if feasible, I don't know whether that's feasible, but it could be useful. You know, we have these different boxes of activities, and giving people a sense of how much of those credit points or share in our resources have been consumed in the past 5 years, so that they get a sense of, you know, projects that they know of and that they've seen developing collectively have taken, and also that could give them an insight into how incremental the supplementary activities are, which would help them, I think, provide relevant input. I totally support the idea that projects that have not been started should be reassessed, because, again, the context may have evolved in such a way that priorities should be set in a different manner. But I think we should also welcome comments on whether the projects that have just started, how their level of priority is. I'm not talking about those who are close to completion, obviously, but where we have started some and as a result consumed some resources, but not really accomplished any standard setting step yet, in stricter sense standard setting. I think we should. I'm sensitive to the argument in the paper that you know, the stop and goes and withdrawals cost money, but I think developing something that is not relevant in terms of priorities has a greater cost altogether in the way we serve our objective and the way we are perceived in terms of how useful we are to society.
Just to give a sense of what you mean by that, do you have an example of a project which you think is at such an early stage where you could ask that question still?
Those which have been in the pipeline and where research has started, basically.
Where we've started research, but we haven't hit a milestone, so we haven't issued a discussion paper or
SMEs that are subsidiaries, which is an example of one coming.
Is one of them?
Yeah.
Extract is probably low.
I mean, you know, just to help people tell us, not send the message we're not going to hear, you know, that we are going to proceed with whatever has been started. So that basically the gender consultation scope is on whatever has not been envisaged yet or that needs to be reassessed because not started. Because if you look at, the work plan, and we have some projects that have not started yet at all.
And for very good reasons.
But if you consider that you cannot do any change but what has not yet started, I mean, there is almost no flexibility.
Well, there would be some flexibility still, because even for the projects that have started, they would be finished either before the next agenda consultation or sometime during that 2022 to 2026 period. But you're right. If we say that what's in progress continues, then that limits how much open space there is. The challenge that I think we run into, though, is that those projects that are already in process have already been prioritized through the last agenda consultation. So you're almost asking the same question again, and then we'll also ask that question when the discussion paper goes out and when the exposure draft goes out. Stakeholders have another opportunity to say, this is not a priority, please stop. So we're almost asking the same question multiple times, which is why the staff was a little bit reluctant to go down that path.
I mean, yeah. To me, it's part of the objective of the agenda consultation, to reassess, you know, that the priorities have been well set. I think that's what I wanted to say.
I have a comment. I just wanted to ask a quick question first on B. Is when you say a list, is it an exhaustive list, or have we already kind of, is it already a prioritized list and that we've made some choices in what goes on the list?
I think the purpose of the outreach that we're going to conduct before the RFI will be to compile that list, and I think to some extent we'll be taking that back to the board for discussions. But I would imagine as part of that, things which are not feasible or are not very important will, I imagine, be dropped off the list so that the list would itself be a reasonable size.
Which I think is important to me on the BC choice.
Yeah.
To the degree that we've already done a quick winnowing of the thing and discarded the ones we thought were really, and people have an opportunity, I guess, to write it. Then I was leaning toward B, and now I think I'm kind of completely toward B, because I think there's a cost to putting that now reduced from the exhaustive list down and making choices, because I think it affects the way people respond. I think people respond better when you're asking them for their advice if they have basically, you know, wide latitude to give advice and they don't think that it's going to be sort of a pre-answered question. And that's always, I think, anytime people get that, I'm not saying that we would give that impression, but there's a risk if we put priorities. So I think that was one comment. And my other comment was just on picking up on what Françoise said, which was, I think, 22. I've sort of leaned this way and that way on this, because the trouble with these things is they're a continuum. So we said the ones that we've not done anything, we identified that they're on the list. So then, you know, we're somewhere between 0 and 100%. And, you know, where do you slice it? And I think I agree kind of with what Neely said, was that there's other ways of getting this. And I think I would not just be inclined to throw them into the list, but I thought what might be good was to just have a list of ongoing projects supplemental to the list, where you say, here's the existing projects, rough stages, and just say, Do you have any comments on the advisability of continuing with these projects or something? And that would let people sort of just look, take a look and say, oh, well, I really think, you know, especially because I'm so keen on one of your projects that this could go. But I think it would be a little bit better than just putting them on the list as a wide open choice.
Jen Chow.
I agree with the direction of the paper. And also with regard to the approach, what kind of approach we should undertake with regard to agenda consultation. I also agree with approach B. I think because this is the agenda consultation, so the main objective of this agenda consultation is try to identify what kind of agenda, what kind of issues we are going to do in the future, and not to focus on the solution at this stage. So approach C, it seems that we need to provide some kind of preliminary views, solutions. I think it's too early to do. If we needed to do, I think it takes time. I don't think we have enough time, sufficient time to deal with that. But actually, some advisor council member did mention that. So it's really based on if some pipeline projects we need to add back, and we did some initial research or some findings or some initial solution, maybe we can include some initial analysis, including the agenda consultation paper. But generally, I think approach B is a very practical approach to do that. With regard to the capacity and the resources, we mentioned this issue. I think at this stage, as I said, the main objective is to identify those issues. Don't worry about the resources, the capacity. And I think that is the next step. Once we identify those issues, and we say those issues are topics, agenda, really critical, we need to resolve that. I think then we need to think about whether we need to spend more time and allocate more resources to resolve those issues. So I think that is the next stage we should consider. And don't ask those stakeholders to worry about too much about this at this stage. Yeah.
Thank you. I agree with the approach B is better. The reason is 2015 agenda consultation, basically the approach taken at that time is quite similar to the approach B. After that 2015 agenda consultation, there are no big problems about the approach and the outcome of 15 agenda consultation. And interestingly, at that time, I remember many of our stakeholders asked us to have some kind of period of calm because, you know, we had produced so many big standards at the time. So some years of a period of calm. That kind of a feedback we can get from the maybe better from the approach B rather than the approach C, I guess. So that's why I like to have this one. Also, we can have some experience. Peter Clark did everything for the 2015 agenda consultation. He has such a valuable experience with this project, so we can share his experience with this one too.
Martin?
I think it is important that we be clear what we do with these pipeline projects, because my understanding was on the last agenda consultation we have already decided we're doing that. It's only kind of when and not if we do it at all. And if you're now again asking this question about this project, clearly some people will come up with more important projects, and if that then fall again, I think back end because of resource and capacity issues, I think it is difficult then to decide what we're doing with this kind of list, because for me it was a done deal. It's only kind of when resources would be free up, then we're doing that. But not that we question that again.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that it's important that we are clear about that, because otherwise, and also this kind of ranking list that people, if people give a ranking list, I would not decide on if it is on list number 1 or 2 or 3 as a kind of different issues. And maybe in some jurisdictions that is a really important issue, but it is not on the hit list of all kind of constituents, and this kind of project will then fall always through. And a little bit careful, I think it is a kind of good input, what is important, but the decision, what we're doing, is with us. Yeah, and I think we have decided that already.
Martin, eh? Because, for example, inflation accounting is only important at this point, at least, in a small part of the world, but we have decided already this is something we want to take on. And to ask that question again and again, I don't think it makes a lot of sense, unless the world has changed to such an extent that it is no longer relevant.
Inflation.
People might still want to react that way, but I think we should make clear that our leaning is to continue what we have promised to do.
And that can happen with something like extractives, because it doesn't affect all people across all countries. Yeah. But we've already said that we put it on the research project because it's important in magnitude.
These national standard setters are already putting work in it, and then to suddenly say, okay, let's forget about it, which would be very unlikely anyway, but it doesn't make sense. Yes, Erika.
Regarding what type of the approach we are going to take, I support the staff's recommendation, because I think when preparing the pre-RFI information, we only have the ability to reach out a limited group of people, not extensive member of the stakeholders. So I think we should give some impression to the stakeholder we have already determined about what we wanted to do in the next cycle of the project. So I think it should be a very good balance of the explanation about why those projects are prioritized compared with other projects should be clearly explained. But I don't think that shouldn't sound very restrictive, and we have no open-minded to hearing the extensive stakeholders. And the second question about the pending project, I think it's a very good idea to include the list of the pending project, and then also include some kind of status information of project at this moment. But other than that, we should not ask the same question again and again.
Tadeu.
Just one comment that I like the idea that there is, might be a project that just one region may be interested in. And then in the very beginning, when we start discussing about the project that we would include in the list, and it was a very good question, who is going to prepare the list? And then I think that this is a process that should be very transparent for those that are contributing for the list. And especially, I mean, that we may also develop a kind of criteria to select these items, not only for covering regions, but users, because you might have been a user that might not be the strongest one, but is if an issue is important for him or her, I believe that we should take this into consideration. Therefore, I mean, that, again, that's very descriptive, some of the slides here, and how we are picking up the issues to be included in the list, but we also should be maybe clearer the way that we select the items for the final agenda decision.
Okay, well, I sense broad support for approach B with some nuances.
Yep.
I think the staff has enough to go on. Do we want to vote? Yeah.
No,
I don't need a vote.
Thank you.